So, as I was praying with the readings today, the theme that kept coming out to me over and over was God's providence. How God seeks to give us not just what's good, but God seeks to give us what's best for us. That first reading, we had that beautiful, almost poetic reading from Isaiah. And in that reading, he says, "You who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come and eat, receive grain and eat." And he goes on to talk about God's love for us and how in that love, God provides us with those things that we need, God's providence to us. And then we have that gospel, that powerful gospel where Jesus has just heard that John the Baptist has been killed. And, you know, whenever we hear something like that about a loved one, it takes us back. And Jesus goes off to be by himself and to pray in a desolated place far away from everybody. But the crowds hear about it and they hunger for Jesus. So the crowds follow him out to where he had gone to and they gather around him. And when he sees the crowd again, that love that he has for that crowd just overwhelms him. And it says he takes pity on the crowd and he cures their sick. He ministers to the crowd. And after they'd been with him all day and it starts getting late, you know, there's no McDonald's in the area, no Chick-fil-A. So the disciples say, "Hey, the crowd's got to be getting hungry. You got to send them off so that they can get something to eat." And so again, Jesus, in that providential love for the crowd that had gathered there, chooses to feed the crowd so that they don't have to leave him, so that they can have what's best. They can stay with him and continue to commune with him. He can continue to minister to them. So as the story goes, and as you just heard, he takes those loaves and those fish, and he multiplies them so that the entire crowd of 5,000 can be fed by those few loaves and fish. And then at the end, in his superabundance of providence, God leaves 12 wicker baskets full of food once everything is said and done. That beautiful, beautiful story of providence. And then as I was praying and reading these readings, I got to the second reading. How's that one fit? It talks about a lot of trials and difficulties. But, you know, the more I prayed with that second reading, the more I realized that is the key of God's providence. That second reading really is the one that unlocks the others. It starts out well enough. It says, "What can separate us from the love of God?" And truly, the love of God that he has for us, that infinite, beautiful, perfect love that he has for us, that's the motivation of his providence. That's why he wants to give us what's good, why he wants to give us what's best for us. But then it kind of goes south from there, because immediately after talking about that love of God, it starts talking about all kinds of difficulties, anguish, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword. Wait a minute. I thought God was supposed to be taking care of me. Why do I have to deal with all of those difficulties if God loves me and God wants to take care of me? So how many of you out there have been given the gift of being parents? Quite a few of us. I think as parents, we can understand this a little bit. So my wife, Mary, and I have been blessed to be the parents of 4 children. And as parents, we love our children deeply. And we want to give them what's good for them, but we really want to give them what's best for them. And that's hard. That's very hard to give our children what's best for them. First of all, because I'm not perfect, and even my love is not perfect. And so there's always a little bit of selfishness in there. There's always a little bit of pride in there that creeps in there that keeps me from giving my children what's best for them. But I think even more than that is that I'm not perfect in my wisdom, and I'm not perfect in my prudence. So I don't always know what's best for my children. So, for example, we want to give them good things, right? But you know what? if we give them everything they ask for, if we give them too many good things, can't we spoil them? Can't we make it so that they don't really appreciate the good things that they have? Can't we make it so that, maybe they don't know how to deal with lack? And doesn't that set up an unrealistic expectation for them? You know, we want to protect them from all harm, right, as parents? But if we never let them experience any kind of trials or difficulties, don't they grow up being fragile so that they're not able to deal with those inevitable situations where they, when they come across things that they have to figure out how to deal with and how to cope with? And we want them to be successful, but if in wanting them to be successful, we just do everything for them, they never learn how to do for themselves. They never gain that confidence that they need in order ultimately to be successful by themselves as they're called to be. So as parents, there's always this game of prudence that we play. Do we give? Do we not give? Is it good for them? Is it best for them for me to give them this thing or not to give them this thing? Is it best for me to allow them to fail here so that they can learn for that, or to step in and protect them? And we're never quite sure. But you see, that's where God is different, because God, not only is his love perfect, not only is his goodness and his desire for goodness perfect, but also his wisdom and his prudence is perfect and infinite as well. So God knows exactly what we need. And sometimes, in God's providence, the best thing that he can do for us is allow us to experience some of those things that we heard about in that second reading. Experience the anguish, distress, persecutions, famine, right? So that we can grow stronger, and so that ultimately for our own good. And you know, it's always been that way. If we look at the lives of the saints, generally experience tremendous trials in their lives. There's a great story that's told about St. Teresa of Avila, who was that 16th century reformer of the Carmelite order. And there's a story in the very last year of her life, in 1582, she was traveling with a group of sisters, and she was going from Avila to form new convents in Bergara and Granada. And on the way, she had to pass through an area that was just terribly flooded, kind of like here in 2008. And the waters were high, and you couldn't even see where the road was. And so she and the sisters are going into just this mass of water. And some of the sisters want to stop and turn back. They say, we can't go into that. So that might have actually been a prudent decision. But St. Teresa of Avila encouraged the sisters to go forward. She said, no, you know, what better way to die than doing the Lord's will? I'm convinced the Lord wants us to go forward here. If we're going to die, we're going to die here. That's fine. And so they left their carriage. And they went off on foot, and as they're crossing this water, the current swept St. Teresa off her feet, and she fell into the water and was almost swept away. And she came up, and on her lips she said, oh Lord, when will you cease in scattering obstacles in our path? To which she heard the Lord's reply. He said, do not complain, my daughter. This is how I treat my friends. To which the saint said, ah, Lord, it's on that account that you have so few. You know, when we're in the middle of those trials and difficulties, it's not always easy to see how God has our best interests in mind. But that saint gives us a good example of how we should look at these things. First of all, her mind for her good is beyond this earth. Because if our only idea of good is on this earth, we'll always fall short. But she's already thinking, you know what? Even if we die in this, if it's God's will, it's good. Right? Even if we die in this, because ultimately, what is the best for us? The best for us is what we're made for. And we're made to be great saints in heaven. And that's where her mind is. So she starts in a good place. And then in the heat of the moment, when she gets swept into the water and she's almost swept away and her faith is shaken, instead of turning away from God, She turns to God in prayer, and she expresses her complaint to God. She says, oh, when are you going to quit scattering these obstacles in our path, right? This is tough. I don't like having to go through that. And that's okay. That's okay for us to feel those things when we have those obstacles. But our trust needs to be in God and his providence through those. But in the end, she turns to God. And in the end, she is faithful to God. And so her faith in God leaves her to have that firm hope in his providence, and that he will give her what's best for her. And then ultimately, that leads her into a deeper love of God. Those three divine virtues, the faith leads to hope, leads to love. And I think that's what our readings are calling us to do today. So take a moment here and think about, what trials are you experiencing in your life? What difficulties? What things are keeping you up at night? What's eating at your gut? What are those difficulties? Can you take those to prayer? And if you don't have enough faith to trust in God, can you ask God to increase your faith so that you can trust in God, so that he can give you that sure hope, and that through that faith and that hope, you can grow, you can be freed to grow in your love of God and your love of your neighbor.